The following Dharma talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is head priest at the monastery and the abbess of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Good evening. Not bad for a Friday night that we get to renew all the vows and atone for our harmful actions. It'd be nice if it was a national holiday. I've been looking at a calligraphy that was gifted to me in my room from Thich Nhat Hanh, an original, within an Enso. And it says, be still and heal. Be still and heal. Just four words. But it feels like it holds the fusatsu in our activity, in our zazen, to be still and to heal. This power of renewal and making fresh again and again, so we're not carrying the past forward, that we can clean up a little bit our karma little by little in our acknowledgement of what has happened, what is happening. Healing may imply there's a sickness or an illness. What needs to be healed? What is in you that needs to be healed? What is it in our family, in our world, that needs to be healed? Be still and heal could mean there's one that is not ill, is not sick. So we have to enter where we are, with our wounds, our joys, our sorrows, our own suffering. When all dharmas are Buddha Dharma, nothing's excluded. Everything is medicine. As one teacher said, all the world is medicine. Medicine and sickness heal each other. Where do you find yourself? In Buddha Dharma, repentance, sometimes it's called or atonement, is at the center of taking responsibility for our actions, which is karma. The karma that we create through the three doors of our body, mouth, our body, our speech, and mind. Born of our actions, our words, and our thoughts. And we acknowledge that even our thoughts have power, great power, what we think, and how that shapes our world in us, the world around us. So we're always encouraged by many teachers to guard these three doors of body, mouth, and thought. Guard these three doors. And this is part of the process of atonement and repentance. So the root word of repentance is the Latin re for again. Penitere, maybe I'm saying that wrong, but to cause to regret. So to repent is to feel sorrow again, or to repent again. And fusatsu, or upo-satha, is the acknowledgement of our harmful actions and the commitment to realign ourselves with the path of wisdom and compassion. In a sense, it is a kind of a return, a renewing. Make fresh again. I remember going into Yukon one night and say, "Yukon, Yuki, we're doing fusatsu tonight." And he went, "Oh, make fresh." Make fresh. It's often translated, fusatsu, as to stop unwholesome action, karma, or continuous good practice. And within that, it seems to do that, it carries a feeling of restraint to stop unwholesome action. There is a feeling of restraint there in order to make fresh and be living in accord with our undefiled, unperturbed original nature. And so we do this together in ceremony. You know, we chant in the Meal Gatha, "As we desire the natural order of mind to be free from clinging." And who doesn't go like, "Yeah, I want that." And perhaps this ceremony, which means karya, ceremony means to heal. Perhaps this was Buddha's response to be still and heal. An opportunity to atone, be at one, not separate from our mistakes, our misdeeds, and to do it together. And to remember Buddha's starting point is inherent perfection. A mistake or a misdeed doesn't change that. Still perfect and complete, imperfectly. Buddha knew for himself that we, in practice, we stray, falter, we get confused, we become self-centered. We're topsy-turvy, is a term he liked to, or it's translated as that. I always liked that, topsy-turvy. That even with our best intentions, when we want to do good, we sometimes don't. We do get caught in our ignorance, our self-conceit, our delusions. And then not only do we not see ourselves when that's happening, but we don't see others because we're so involved. Topsy is turving. And in this self-involvement, we act in a confused way and we can create harm. We know this. You know, just think of the small ways when you're confused and how things just sort of domino. You just start messing up here and there. And the point is to not feel guilty or bad about ourselves or make another person feel bad. It's to use all of what affects us more clearly, to return to that which benefits everyone, to alleviate the suffering so prevalent, not to add to it. I think Shugen said, "Don't move." Sometimes, don't move. Be still. So in the Gatha of Atonement, we bring to mind clearly what is here, whatever situations presents itself as our experience, what we call our life, whatever is happening, whatever has happened, and to use this as the Buddha Dharma, to say yes to it, which means we have to accept everything as our life. All evil karma, sometimes it's said, all twisted karma, I like that one, ever created by me, all harmful karma ever created by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. When did it start? Who knows? Now I atone. Now I'm not separate from it at all. Such a pointed gatha, right? Doesn't hedge around. It's personal responsibility committed by me. I'm not pointing somewhere else. The direction without question is pointed here. Then we really see it's an expression of my life. I was thinking about forbearance and the patience needed for this. Because forbearance carries that feeling of restraint. It says forbearance is not only surviving adversity, but controlling the impulse we have to lash out against the perceived cause of the adversity. And the Chinese character for patience is an arrow pointing to a person's heart, and they're in a corner. It's a great character for patience. And there's no punishment in Buddhism. I hope you're not disappointed. Some might be. Our worth is never diminished when we do something we shouldn't have. So when we notice we're caught, we acknowledge it, we take responsibility, and we recommit to our vows. Simply the recognition of the wrongdoing and the resolve to repair and move on. We have to do this process. I'm not entirely sure of the function of guilt, if it serves anything. But there is a helpful, healthy shame. Buddha spoke of it. He says, when coupled with the fear of wrongdoing, he called it a bright guardian, a noble treasure of the world. Shame coupled with the fear of wrongdoing is a bright guardian, a protector, a treasure of the world. Buddha said the human world is protected by hiri, which means shame, and atapa, the fear of wrongdoing. And it protects us and others from harm. It has this protective quality that we won't do it later. We regret. So it actually shows we have a high ethical standard. It's present. It's good self-esteem. It's respecting our virtuous qualities. So he says hiri is conscience. The internal shame we feel at losing our sense of honor or self-respect. You know that cringy feeling when you do something you know you shouldn't have? I think we all do. Shoulders go down. The pain that arises and the gap between who we are and who we know we can be. I was thinking of, and atapa is the external fear of consequences of our unskillful, hurtful actions and the effect they might have on others. So it's a social conscience, a collective sense of morality, a relational emotion, because we don't want to be cast out of the tribe. So we respect the opinions and the rights of others. Actually, they're both relational. Shame is what we feel in relationship with ourselves, and fear of wrongdoing we feel in relationship with others. So we have these guardians, these protectors. And this actually reflects something deeply true about how our minds work. One teacher provided a colorful analogy of these two guardians by Buddhaghosa, 5th century Theravada monk. It's quite graphic to illustrate these two protector guardians. He said, when we commit a harmful action, it's like grabbing an iron rod to hit another. But on one end, the rod is smeared with excrement, and on the other, it's heated to a red-hot glow. Ugh, both ends. Shame, Buddhaghosa said, is the disgust we feel at grabbing the side of the rod covered with excrement. Fear of wrongdoing is the pain and distress we feel at holding the hot side of the rod. Both feelings cause us pain or discomfort, but it's that very discomfort that alerts us to the fact that there's something we need to attend to, something we need to rectify. So how do we atone for the harm? Tori Zenji, who we chanted this morning, heir of Hakuin Zenji, gave his students a list of three things to clean their karma. Bow fully, sit zazen, and recite the Gatha of Atonement. He says, owning up to our own responsibility, acknowledging how we may have caused harm, in this acknowledgement, we are entering the process of purifying it, not carrying it farther. We set it down and move on with emptier hands, emptier mind. Bow fully, sit zazen, and keep atoning. And there's also a path of healing through atonement from the Tibetan tradition, the Vajrayana, often referred to as the Four Powers. And they're in different orders, so I'm not sure which one. I found them in different orders, but it's the powers of regret, the power of refuge, the power of resolve, and the power of remedy. So the power of regret, instead of wallowing in self-blaming guilt, which is not really atoning, right? Self-blaming guilt, we're not really atoning, we're just feeling guilty, but we're not atoning for it, being at one with it, just feeling guilty about it. So this involves, it says, honestly acknowledging, feeling the gravitas of the unwholesomeness of our action, the harm it caused. So hopefully it gives us a good goose to want to clear up that karma. Then there's the power of refuge, reliance or support, taking refuge in the three treasures, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Seeing that, what a powerful resource of support we have. It connects us right to the goodness of the path, reaffirming our commitment to a positive direction. So we chant Namu, be one with the past seven Buddhas, all Buddhas, with compassion, with wisdom, with the future Buddha. Dogen has a vow on his aspiring bodhisattva vow, Ehe Koso Hotsugamon, which I found, and he says at the very end, quietly explore the farthest reaches of causes and conditions, as this practice is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. Confessing and repenting in this way, one never fails to receive profound help from the Buddhas and ancestors. By revealing and disclosing our lack of faith and practice before the Buddha, we melt away the root transgressions by the power of our confession and repentance. This is the pure and simple color of true practice, the true mind of faith, and the true body of faith. The power of resolve. Having recognized a mistake, making a firm decision or commitment not to repeat the harmful action is the power of resolve. It's clarity, not control. To really get the click in our body and mind, I cannot do this again. I cannot do this again. Sometimes we can make a resolution for a small period of time to help ourselves in this resolve. It's realistic to build momentum and confidence. I like to say, for 1 week, don't make things worse. See if you can do that. Don't speak ill of others. Just 3 days. See if for 3 days you don't speak ill of others. Take up a precept. One, manifest truth, do not lie. And from breakfast till you go to bed, see if you are able to manifest truth and not lie. And over time, it just becomes a part of us to not do certain things. That's the ripening process. We don't have to think about it so much anymore. It's just, we can't do it. Do you ever have that feeling? I remember I stole a shirt in a laundromat once. I liked it. And I took it. And to this day, that action, like, I was just like, I cannot do that. It was just horrible. I couldn't even wear it. And it's so strong that, like, even if I'm out of toothpaste and I go into Showon's Cubby or Tycho's and, you know, a quarter of an inch, I have to tell them, I took your toothpaste. And of course they say, that's fine, take as much as you want. But it's just, I have to clear that. I went into their cubby, you know. You pull your dental floss and you see you've only got like an inch. So you go to get some, and it's just like, hey, I took 8 inches of your dental floss. because these details, there it is. If we can take an inch, we can go further. So we atone. We become at one with it. We just say. We clear it. We don't make harm. We practice good. And then there's remedy action, exactly what it says. What steps can we take to clear up our karma? We can forgive ourselves over time. Maybe forgiveness for someone else. That's why we have to atone again and again, because it's not like you do this ceremony tonight and it's all clean slate. It gets us in the right direction, and then we have to keep going, right? And we have to see both sides. Is that helpful to the other person? It's not just for us. So to say something to someone, how we have to think that through. How do we do that? Do we write a letter? We can apologize for a harm. We can create a healthy boundary. The important thing, I think, is to get the ill will out of our system, because it doesn't hurt the other person. It's like, what do we want to live with inside of us? Even though things have happened, horrific, we have to get that out of our own cells and our bones. And leave them in their lane. And then there's more space to see their karma and hold that and see that those causes and conditions in a good way. So we can leave the past behind. more and more, chanting the immeasurables, fully bowing, as Tori suggests, to get out of our own way, our own head, in order to bow down. Daido Roshi used to, when some people used to get in conflict, he'd have them go in the Buddha hall and do 108 bows together. And it didn't start off so good, but you get to 10, 20, and something happens to you inside. And if you're doing that with a person you just fought with, something happens. I don't know what happens in healing, actually. But it does happen. It does take place. We can remember the power of thought to create karma. So we don't have to have a person that's difficult right in front of us. We could have a picture of them. For a number of years, I had a person that was hard to face, but I could look at their picture eventually. And that gave me an inroad to work with them in my mind. It's very powerful. And eventually, actually, I did see them. Buddha said the ultimate healing comes from understanding the fundamental truths, impermanence and non-self. We can use all that is happening as Buddha Dharma to penetrate and realize we're not a Velcro self walking around, getting stuck everywhere, but a collection of causes and conditions arising moment after moment. And because in each moment they're new, in each moment it can shift. Yay. We're not stuck. We're not Velcroed to earth. Not carrying the self forward. Suzuki Roshi has a new book called Becoming Yourself. And Jiryu, the abbot of Green Gulch, came to talk about his book. And there was a quote in there that said, bowing is not to bow down to something. Suzuki says, to bow is to crack duality. Cracking into this experience of non-separation in our bow. And that makes room for vows to be born, to grow. We are tough nuts. So we need nutcrackers. And we have all this. Uchiyama said, vow gives us courage. Atonement totally crushes our arrogance. It is precisely this kind of posture, says Uchiyama, that constitutes an alive religious life. I think vows, I would like to add, are born from atonement and gratitude. And gratitude. That those are two important parents. And this is the power of renewal. That every single moment is an opportunity to begin again, no matter what we've done. Every step along the path is the most important step. We can fall to the ground in a royal heap, and we can stand up and sit in royal ease, facing. It's up to us to maintain. So let us maintain our own true atonement and gratitude and let them do their work. And then we might find this gate of creation is the gate of cessation. And I'll end with a poem Dogen wrote on atonement. All my life, false and real, right and wrong are entangled. Playing with the moon, ridiculing the wind, listening to birds, many years wasted, seeing the mountain covered with snow. This year, I suddenly realize snow makes the mountain.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.